probably a well-known passage for all of us, and there's nothing necessarily new here tonight. It's just a passage I've been thinking about and studying and being challenged and being encouraged. And I trust tonight that we can be encouraged and perhaps challenged if necessary, but I'm not going to try and beat too many people up. It's just been a real blessing. Seeing this passage afresh and just looking at some things that help us in our walk with the Lord. So let's read tonight, and I'd like to read some of chapter 11 as well. I think that would be good. So we're going to read, let's read and from verse 32 in chapter 11. And then we'll read to just verse 3 in chapter 12. So starting in verse number 32 in chapter 11 of Hebrews. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that is ours, that we can call you Father, and that the Lord Jesus is our Saviour. And Father, we, Lord, a needy people. Lord, we need food for our souls. Lord, we need encouragement, Lord, and oftentimes challenging and rebuke, Lord. But tonight I pray that you would just meet the need of our heart. Lord, that you would encourage us, Lord, and Lord, we would leave this place, Lord, refreshed and Lord, desiring, Lord, to continue, Lord, for you. Lord, we know that the only life worth living is a life completely surrendered to the Lord Jesus. And Lord, may we have that attitude in our heart, and our desire, Lord, would be that. Lord, we pray that you would just help me, Lord, and to say what you'd have me say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read that passage before chapter 12 because of the importance of that in verse 1. Well, you read in chapter 11 there, and the whole chapter of 11 of Hebrews is a chapter of faith. And it is men and women's experiences that they had and the lives that they lived by faith. And that particular last part there, you'll find that there were a number of people there who saw some amazing things happen. You read about some stopped the mouths of lions. And you read about Daniel. It's an amazing story. You read about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the furnace of fire. And they walked in the fire with the Son of God. And you read that and you're encouraged and you think, wow, that's amazing. But when you read some of these other things here, there's not a lot of encouragement there, in one sense. But it says there that women received their dead raised to life again. That's amazing. But the very next bit it says, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, and that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And you read that and you think, that doesn't sound so good, does it? This life of faith. It sounds like it's a bit of a disaster. I mean, surely that faith that sees the lion's mouth shut is able to deliver him from the torturer. But no, the Bible says here that they still had their faith. Their faith was still strong. And I don't know if you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs or By Their Blood, but there are quite lengthy books of martyrs, Christian martyrs, who over the centuries have given their lives for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you read those and you can't help but feel sometimes like, I'm glad that wasn't me. You don't read them and think, oh, I just can't wait. That's exactly the way I envisaged this Christian life. But the fact is, many people who have gone on before us suffered greatly for their testimony, for their faith. And I believe Paul wrote the book. Is it okay to say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews? I believe that. I'll just double check. Okay, we'll go with Paul. Okay, so Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, I believe. And Paul says here, we've just read chapter 11, and he says this. He says, wherefore, or because of what we've just read, and previous chapters as well, but in particular he says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. He says, brethren, think about this. Think about those who have gone on before. And I don't know about you, but it's a great encouragement. I remember reading a story recently, and it was a Chinese a missionary. Well, it wasn't a Chinese, but I think it was an American, and his wife went to China, and I believe it was maybe in the 60s or 50s or 60s sometime, maybe even earlier. When did the communist regime take over in China? Was it the 60s? 50s. Okay, so back in the 50s. Well, anyway, he was caught with his wife. They were put in prison, and they were told that they needed to basically reject the Lord Jesus, deny the Lord Jesus. And this man was a faithful man, and he said, "No, we can't do that. The Lord Jesus died for me," and he said, "I can't deny him." And the communist soldiers, they took his wife, and they tied him up. And in another room, in a room where he could see what was going on, the whole bunch of soldiers raped and beat his wife. And he stood there. And every time that something would happen that they would do to her, they'd come in and they'd say, deny the Lord Jesus. Deny the Lord Jesus. And he said, I can't deny him. He died for me. And he said that while he was watching his wife every now would lift her head and just shake her head. Say, don't deny. They dragged her off. And for 2 years he was in prison. Never saw his wife again. And 2 years he was released. And he was back in America. And he was involved in one of the Bible colleges there in America. And the story of the students was that when he was lecturing in their final, I think it was either their final week or their final day of lecturing, or whatever it was before the graduation, he would be standing at the front. And he would take his shirt off. He would turn around. And with weeping, he would say, whatever you do, don't deny the Lord Jesus. And on his back, he had like a railway track of scars where they beat him regularly. when he was in prison. And he said, don't deny the Lord Jesus. And you read that, you read this, where Paul says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Beloved, there's many, many men and women who have gone on before, and they are like a cloud of witnesses, people that we can look back on their lives, their testimonies, and we can be encouraged by it. You know, sometimes we feel like we're going through a fair bit, and the Lord knows that we are. Others may not know. But think about those who have gone on before. Those who have experienced, as the Apostle Paul says in these previous verses here, cruel mockings, scourgings, imprisonment, all kinds of terrible things. And he says there, wherefore, seeing this, he says there's a bit of a responsibility we have and some action we need to take. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Let us lay aside every weight. Now, this weight that he is talking about here is not necessarily talking about sin. Okay, the weight he is talking about here is an encumbrance, something that would hinder us in what we are supposed to be doing in our race, which he talks about in the latter part of this verse. Let us run with patience. He says, lay aside the weight. And not just the weight, but every weight. And I like it when the Bible is easy to understand like this. He doesn't say let us lay aside some weight. Let us lay aside those things you don't really like anyway. He's not saying that, is he? He's saying lay aside everything that would hinder you in your walk for the Lord. Your run, this race. Lay it aside. Cast it off. Don't be encumbered by it. Don't be hindered in your walk, in your race, in your run. He said, because it'll get in the way. It'll get in the way. There's a number of things that I could think of, and I'm not going to name them in case there's something that you feel that maybe is a weight. But think about it in your own heart, before the Lord, about the weights that you may have. They're not necessarily sin. They're not necessarily evil, but they are things that sap your energy, okay? Things that sap your energy. And if you can picture in your mind a runner, I mean, he's talking about a runner here. He's talking about a race, an endurance race. But how many marathons have you seen where the runners turn up and they've got a pair of boots on? And an overcoat and a backpack and whatever else you can think of, which is, there's nothing wrong with it, but on race day, it is what? It is a weight. It is a hindrance. It is an encumbrance to the runner. And when we get saved, when we have joined this race, this race which God has set before us, we need to consider the fact that there are some things in our lives that are weights, and they will hinder us if we continue to hang on to them. They will hinder us in our running. Running. It's some effort in it, isn't there? It isn't just a walk. It's a run. And the more weights you have, the harder it's going to be. He says, lay aside every weight. Everything that causes you to grow tired. Everything that saps your strength spiritually, he said, you lay it aside. And then he says, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The sin which doth so easily beset us. You know, you can't run the race with sin in your life. You can't run it efficiently. You can't run it properly. You can't run it how God wants you to run. Sin will hinder you. Sin will hinder. In Galatians, the Apostle Paul spoke to the church of Galatia there in chapter 5, and he said, ye did run well, who did hinder you? What did hinder you? What got in the way? You know, sometimes in our lives we are running a good race, but we allow something to come in and hinder it. Maybe some sin. maybe some weight left unchecked. But the Bible says here, you need to lay it aside. The sin which doth so easily beset. Sin easily besets us, doesn't it? You don't even have to try, and you just seem to be sinning. It's actually some effort. It's actually some discipline required. He says, and then let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience. This race we're running requires some endurance, doesn't it? It's not a sprint. You know, some Christians, they start off really, really well, and they're running, and they're excited, but because of some weights, and because of some sin, the patience goes, the endurance goes. They give it up. They say, well, that's too hard for me. It's too hard, I can't do it. No, the bottom line is you can't do it, but you can through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in the very next verse where he says, looking unto Jesus, who is to be our inspiration? Who is to be our focal point? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's one thing to look at those who've gone before and to be encouraged and challenged. But he says, Paul says here, looking unto Jesus. The most important thing is to look unto the Lord Jesus. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. The idea is the start and the completion of our faith. We get saved through faith in Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to continue the race in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on our own. He says, looking unto him. Looking. And the idea of looking there is forgetting the things that are around us and focusing. Is taking note. It is recognizing the Lord Jesus and what he has done. Because the Bible says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross. The Lord Jesus endured. How many times I used to feel that perhaps, you know, the Lord Jesus could do it because, you know, he was God and he could just do it. But I believe the Lord Jesus didn't do it as God. I believe he did it as man. I believe he suffered everything that we suffer to show us that it is possible. He has already run the race. He's completed the race. And for that reason, we are supposed to look unto him. Look unto him. Who, for the joy, he saw what was before him. He saw what was before him and endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Bible says he despised the shame. The idea is he counted it as naught. It was not even a consideration, the shame. How much do we suffer in shame? Physically or mentally or anything else? We don't really see much of it here, do we? A couple of times I've had people make some smart comments. And, you don't know, they don't feel good, do they? You don't look for it. But what is that in comparison to the Lord Jesus who endured the cross, despising the shame? The most humiliating way to die, the most painful way to die, and yet he counted it as nothing. No wonder Paul could say we should look unto him. Because he endured. He endured. He says, for consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider him. You know, sometimes we're not considering him, we're considering others. We're considering others. Have you even noticed that sometimes people let you down? You've noticed that? You've felt that? You've observed that? That's why Paul said, look unto Jesus, don't look unto others. Because you look unto others and people will let you down. You know, sometimes the people that let you down are the people that are closest to you. And that's the one that hurts the most. He says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Brethren, if we look to others, there's going to come a time when we're going to become weary and we're going to faint in our minds because we're focusing on the wrong person. You're focusing on the wrong person. Did you know, young people, that your dad's not perfect? Your mum's not perfect. Your grandparents aren't perfect. Your firstborn son, he's not perfect. Your pastor, he's not perfect. Your wife's not perfect. Sometimes she feels like she's perfect, but the very next day she's sometimes the opposite. It's true. I've been married for nearly 12 years, okay? I'm allowed to say that now. I know she won't be hurt by it. The bottom line is, people let you down. And if you're looking to people to get inspiration, you're looking to people to say, well, they'll just encourage me, they'll just lead me the way I need to go, you'll be let down and it'll hurt. Because you're following the wrong thing. You're following the wrong person. Now, the Apostle Paul could say, follow me. But he put a proviso on that. He said, as I follow Christ. Even the Apostle Paul was human. Even the Apostle Paul, no doubt, hurt someone's feelings. It's possible. So don't get your nose out of joint when someone hurts you. That's not pleasant. But if your focus is on the Lord Jesus, if you're looking unto him, then it's not so bad. You can despise the shame. You can put that aside because you're not doing it for others. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for him. Consider him, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. There are too many Christians who are wearied and have fainted in their minds because of the wrong focus. The wrong focus. Paul says, look back at what others have done. Look at those who have gone on before. He said, lay aside every weight. Get rid of the unnecessary things. The things which there's not necessarily anything wrong with them, but they're a weight. Get rid of them. Every one of them. He said, lay aside sin. But he said, most of all, your focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it needs to be. Because the Lord Jesus never lets you down. What a blessing that is. Never lets you down. People do. But I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus never lets us down. Take heart, brethren. You may be going through a rough period. You may be going through a rough time. You've gone through one, or you're about to go through one. Make sure your focus, though, is on the Lord Jesus. Now, your wife can be an encouragement. And my wife's a great encouragement to me. My parents are a great encouragement to me. My pastor's a great encouragement. Other brethren here, great encouragement. But I can point back, if I took the time, and show places in my life where it was other than that. But I can never look back and say, the Lord Jesus, he let me down. Because you know what? He's never let me down. Never has. He never will. The Bible says he sticketh closer than a brother. He cannot deny us because we have been bought with a price. We're one of his. What a blessing that is. What an encouragement that should be to us to think that at least there's one person who will never let us down. Amen? What a blessing. The Lord Jesus himself. He went through everything. He suffered. He despised the shame. Why? Because he loved us. Because he wanted to show us that if we look to him, we cast aside, deal with the sin, that we can endure such contradiction. We can. By faith. You read the previous chapter, you see it's by faith. This is not something where we use positive thinking. This is not something where we all pat ourselves on the back and say, come on, let's do it, we can do it. No, no. Rather, it is an eye of faith looking to the Lord Jesus and saying, Lord, regardless how others treat me, regardless of the contradiction of sinners. By God's grace, I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to be faithful. Many have gone before and have suffered greatly. But the Lord Jesus suffered everything for us. And he says, run the race with patience. Endure. Don't give up. He said, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Look at the joy that's to come. Look at heaven. Look at the Lord Jesus sitting at the right hand after he'd done everything. He sat down. Look to that. Look to him. Say, Lord, by your grace, I'm going to run this race with patience, with endurance, looking unto you. Help me not to be wearied. Help me not to faint in my mind, but just to wholly follow after him. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you, Lord, just for who you are, Lord. And Lord, when we read, Lord, of what you've done for us, Lord, it's such a blessing, Lord, just to think that, Lord, you suffered, Lord, you died, and Lord, you went through all the humiliation, Lord, and you did it for me. Lord, as it were, when you went through that, you saw my face, you saw my name. So, Lord, that we, Lord, could follow after you. Lord, we look unto you. Lord, we dare not look at others. Lord, because we know, Lord, that people let us down. Lord, we can receive encouragement. Lord, we look back on those who have gone before, Lord, perhaps have suffered greatly for you. Lord, we certainly are encouraged. But, Lord, our eyes, Lord, should be on you, and we should look to you. Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our focus in the right place. May, Lord, you encourage us, Lord, tonight, Lord, just to keep on running the race. Lord, it does take patience, Lord, it takes endurance. Lord, it's not a sprint. Indeed, it is a long distance run. But, Lord, you've promised, Lord, to keep us. Lord, you've promised you'll never leave us or forsake us. And may, Lord, our faith, Lord, be in you. Encourage us, we pray, with these thoughts in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to